This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I think this sums it up with the conversation we were having. John hits us up on Twitter. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 92.9. And he says, I have coached high school and middle school football and baseball going on 14 years. Capital letters. Kids do not watch sports. You would not believe it. It's mind-numbing. I think that explains it. Because, you know, we're talking about Anthony Edwards, who is a Georgia boy and obviously the first overall pick in the NBA draft. When asked about, you know, A-Rod being a part of the group that's buying the Minnesota Timberwolves, he's like, who is that? I don't know who he is. And so, Mike, I'm going to say that I think it's an age thing, but this is all we did. I mean, not only did we play, we watched, you know, and you tried to consume as much as you can. I think the difference now, to John's point, is kids have so much more to consume, and they're just not watching as much as we did. I think that's part of it, but I also think he was, you know, when A-Rod, again, retired, he was in 2016, so he was probably, what, 14 or 15, maybe 14 at the time? I'm just going back. So A-Rod, in his prime, he's a young kid. I don't know if any 19-year-old, most 19-year-olds know who A-Rod is.
Well, does Ant-Man knows who Michael Jordan is, right?
Well, of course.
I just think, you know,
because it's basketball.
But that's why I brought up the overspecialization of sports earlier. If you're all you're doing is playing travel team, and when you're back in the room, you're playing a Game Boy or Fortnite, you know, you're not watching A-Rod on baseball, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's and look. I don't have kids because people like me, it's best we don't because nobody wants to see that. And you know, then you know, the state would get involved; they'd probably take them away. But here's the deal: I have coached Little League, and now when I coached Little League, kids loved all the sports. Now that was back in the mid '90s, so that's a long time ago now. Yeah. That was down in South Florida. But all the kids followed all the sports. They followed the Heat. They followed the Dolphins. Hockey still an acquired taste in South Florida, but they definitely still love baseball. All the little kids, just like when you watch the Little League World Series, all the kids, they have a favorite player, and it's definitely going to be a baseball player. Like I said, I think you're right, though. I think it's a combination of kids bombarded with so many things. And the other aspect of it, we don't want to make this into one NBA player not knowing who A-Rod is into. It's a societal issue that baseball is dealing with.
It's a societal issue, Mike.
But I will say this. I watched half of soccer. I watched an entire NBA game, and I got to the Braves, and they were in the seventh inning. Braves game took forever. I mean, and again, it's a long game because there's a lot of guys on base, and they get long innings. But, I mean, baseball games, and I like baseball, Carl. It's still way too freaking long. They just don't know how to go about shortening the games the right way.
Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball right now, you could say. Do you think he knows who he is?
No. I bet he doesn't.
Well, I mean, we said this earlier. I mean, Mike Trout, right? West Coast, when do we see – now, I mean, we may see the Angels a couple of years ago, right, interleague play. Does baseball even market their stars right now?
Well, listen, they didn't market them when we were growing up.
I mean, Fernando Tatis Jr. Tatis Jr. can be – but, again, West Coast, people don't realize this, the population is east of the Mississippi. But I'm just curious. I mean, who's the guy that baseball's marketing as their face right now?
Yeah, it's a great point. That's always been an issue. But I also say that I still knew who the stars were when we were growing up. And probably could name 10 guys in Major League Baseball because we paid attention to it. So, I don't know. I would tell you, and when you say it's not a societal thing, I would tell you this. Cell phones have changed everything. And where we had to, because we didn't have that outlet, come home, watch games, pay attention to what it was because there was no on-demand. There was no, I'll check that out when I get, you know, get home at midnight or tomorrow, or you know what, 3 days ago this happened and I can go check it out. If you missed it, you missed it. There was an urgency to sports when we were growing up, but if you missed that, there was no Sports Center. So, you know, guys act like this stuff has been around all forever. You know, it just hasn't been that way. So when you start talking about what kids do now and how they go about this, Mike, I just think it's totally different. They're on their phones 19 of the 24 hours a day. And it's not a criticism. It's just what it is. And we all, I'm holding my phone up at Twitter, on Twitch. We all are so damn dependent on these devices. But our kids, and I've seen this firsthand, take their phone away. You want to see a kid lose their damn mind? I mean, for us, it was an ass whooping. Chris, you could drop that if you want to. I used to get spankings, okay, to make me understand. You want to make a kid understand? Take his phone away. Take her phone away and see what happens.
That's a form of child abuse nowadays, though, isn't it?
They go crazy, Mike. I mean, literally, oh, you can't take my phone. Oh, my God. I'm going to be lost from the eye. Nobody's going to know what I'm doing.
No, I mean, shoot. You take a kid's phone away, he's going to get a lawyer. They're going to sue you. He's going to get
seriously. Saying, I think that's a big part of it.
All right, now but again, it's stuff. If you're just tuning in, Anthony Edwards didn't know who A-Rod is. That's what we got on the subject. A lot of guys have been talking about it today around here and around the country. But, I mean, again, I just don't know. There's things that happen today that are so far removed. And again, it's just about, you know, things that interest me. Like we talked about yesterday, the dunk. People in Charlotte are still talking about the dunk. And I'm like, yeah, Bridges, it was a hellacious dunk. I mean, you know, what's the context? You know, do they win? You know, no. Everybody gets caught up in these little the things that intrigue people are not intriguing to me, which is dangerous because I'm in the radio business. I've got to be in tune with what people find intriguing. Otherwise, I'll get got. So I've got to force myself to be interested in some things I'm not interested in. That's part of our job. But it is amazing to me what is titillating, especially when it comes to sports or not for some people.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean,
so I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know about
Bridges. Listen, there are a lot of things that don't interest me, but I try to be worldly because I'm interested in news, and some people aren't. I'm interested in what's going on in my world, right? So stuff that doesn't interest me, even though it doesn't tickle my fancy, I still want to know about it. And I think that either comes with some people or it doesn't. But I also think all the distractions, and if you guys disagree, we'd love to hear from you, by the way.
And what are your kids into exactly, too? I'd be curious.
I think all the distractions, kids just don't watch sports like they used to. So, you know.
Well, who's going to sit through, let's be honest, unless you're a complete dork, who's going to sit through a 4.5-hour baseball game from start to finish on television, unless it's a playoff game? Who? I mean, I'm being honest with you. I love baseball. You know me. We talked about our childhoods. I probably went to 25 games every year as a kid. My dad shared tickets with two other families. I went to every Giants and Rangers game I could. But who watches a baseball game start to finish unless it's opening day or the playoffs nowadays?
Yeah,
it's hard for me to sit through it because it takes so damn long.
Well, listen, I can't disagree with the whole we want it now society and our attention span. But part of that attention span, look at Twitch.
Right.
It's because of this. It's because of our cell phones. It's because we are now at a point where whatever I want, I can go right now and go get it. Whatever I need. You need something? Go to Amazon. You can get it right now. Oh, I want that information? I can go there. We didn't have that. And so I think that gave us a chance to just kind of go, okay, what am I going to do with this spare time or this extra time? And that's why my TV habits, we know this. Mm. All these streaming services, they're making jillions of dollars. Everything, all that stuff has changed. So I think, to me, again, and I may be wrong, but that's a big part of this. I don't blame Anthony Edwards. He's a 19-year-old kid. But, you know, he may be a superstar ultimately in the NBA. But some superstars transcend the game. It is easy to say, who's Michael Jordan? Well, hell, in the pandemic, you had people who had no idea who Michael Jordan was, and there was a 10-part series called The Last Dance who introduced you to him. Even if you had no idea who he was, then you went, wow, that guy was really good. So I think those guys are special. I don't know where A-Rod falls in that.
But again, Andre hit us. Sorry to cut you off, Ron. The delay is killing me. I apologize. Andre hits us up on Twitter, says, my son, who's 10, can name the popular players on the teams here in Atlanta, but other players in other cities? Nah. And he says, no, he'll go outside with the neighborhood kids and play all the sports, but they don't keep up with the other players like we did.
No.
And that's the thing. You know, you and I joked around about it. You know, another thing is when we were kids, there were 4 starting pitchers on each team. You knew almost all of those guys, right? You knew everybody's infield and most of the outfield. There were less teams, too. It was easier. But you knew everybody. You knew every starting quarterback. You knew all the coaches. But and that's before we had ESPN, too. I mean, you you really had to, you know, not to say to put the effort in, Carl, but baseball cards, football cards, all that stuff. Actually, reading a newspaper as a child. How many kids do that, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting, or not even that, Mike. The access to these news sites or whatever's going on in their world, do they go there? I don't know.
I mean, Freddie, if you and I had the resources we had now, holy cow, we'd never lose a Stratomatic baseball game, right?
Oh, man. I mean, yes, because it was work. You had to really work at it. Right. Freddie, real quick, and it's an interesting conversation, guys, just because, again, Anthony Edwards says, I don't know who A-Rod is. He says, I have two teenage boys, Dukes, 17, 14, that play high school baseball, travel baseball. They study the game. They break down their own video to see what they can improve. He said,
holy
in fact,
cow.
I didn't let them play video games until recently. So to me, that's not the norm. Freddie, you're on the outside because I think a lot of kids at a very early age get handed an iPad or a Microsoft tablet or a phone, and they go, entertain yourself. And it starts. So for you to say you don't allow your teenage boys to play video games, I don't think that's the norm. I think it's the other way. I think most people go, oh, yeah, they've been playing with that thing since they were, you know, three.
Right. Yeah. So. It's a form of babysitting. You're right.
All right, man. Plenty more to get to. Just an interesting conversation. Dukes and Bell. Steve Holman's on the way. We're going to talk Hawks with him coming up here in less than 10 minutes. Right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
See, you never know what you're going to get when you tune into this show. Hey, you never know. Hey, NFL Blitz brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Today, we're talking about your kids. Mike, up to three teams, players, okay, three teams are not going to attend voluntary workouts. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. Broncos, Seahawks, Buccaneers will not formally report to their respective facilities next week to begin voluntary offseason workouts.
Mm.
All of them expressing what they learned last year, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, as we said, the voluntary part of this, which is a lot of players, look, they continued that nonsense. Wasn't that going to be something we thought was going to be addressed in the old CBA that they signed off 2 years ago? But
yeah.
It's still out there. So I've always felt, I know I've heard Randy McMichael, I've heard Hugh Douglas talk about it. I mean, yeah, they don't like it. It's inferred by the team you got to be there. Players will blow it off like Julio did a couple of years ago when you're trying to get some leverage or some traction with a contract. But I also think there's something for the training with the team because, guys, as we said yesterday, Carl, so many more injuries because they didn't have that normal routine. All right, let's see where it goes from here. But, I mean, if you've got a team which has got a bunch of young new players coming together, you want everybody working and putting all the work in as much as you can. You said, didn't you say yesterday they wouldn't do this stuff if there wasn't a reasoning behind it?
Yeah, if it didn't matter.
Right?
Just stay at home.
I mean, if an NFL team is going to turn the lights off to save a penny, they will. They don't want to. If they're going to be there, they're going to be there for a reason.
Hey, the Falcons are on the verge of signing Cordero Patterson.
Hey, good kick return guy.
Yeah, man. And I, by the way, a guy just hit me up. He said, damn, they stretching them dollars. Yeah. So
he's 30 now, is Cordarrelle. Cordarrelle. Vikings back
yeah,
in the day.
Cordero,
yeah, but I say Cordarrelle. like it's, yo, man, I'd like a Cordarrelle with some Henny as a floater. No, but anyway, he has won, Carl, a Super Bowl, right?
Yes. Yes, he has.
He was part of the Patriots in 18.
Yeah, he played with the Bears, I think, last year.
Yeah.
Quarter. Dan Bailey puts it in the air. Cordarrelle Patterson waiting for a big return. 5 yards deep out of the end zone, trying to run it out. Down the sideline. Patterson has 7 for his career. Looking for 8 down the sideline. Throws up the deuces for the touchdown.
Yeah, man, dude's been a beast returning touchdowns. 8 in his career, Carl, for touchdowns.
Well, listen, anything that we can do to help our special teams,
right.
I'm with it, man.
Hey, we had Hester years ago. You always want you want a reason to not go to the bathroom or grab a beer. Usually that's been this case when we've had a guy back there for a punt or a kickoff, right?
No doubt. Mike, this just in. Aaron Donald has been charged. Is it assault? Chris, it's assault, right?
Yeah, he's charged with allegedly assaulting a man in a fight and concussing him.
Who's swinging on Aaron Donald?
That's my question. What an idiot. Like that's it gets back to me. At some point somebody goes, yo, that's Aaron Donald. Oh, I don't care. He's throwing around real offensive linemen on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And you want to take a swing on him? Okay.
I'm seeing that now the dude that he allegedly whooped on is a pretty good guy himself, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this guy played some form of organized football and came at Aaron Donald. There's always three sides to every story. I'm going to go on Aaron's side on this one. They're collecting information. They're aware of reports say the Rams, Pittsburgh police didn't name him, but have confirmed that detectives at Zone 3 in Allentown took a report about an alleged assault that occurred on an East Carson Street on the weekend. They're reviewing the complaint, and if there's some cameras somewhere. I just want to see the video of this. I want to see somebody come up to Aaron Donald. I want to see how this all started. Broken orbital bone, sprained a broken arm, concussion, severe trauma. Got his A's kicked.
That's an MMA match. Oh,
I broke a guy's orbital bone in a fight in Miami, but I caught him with my clatter ring, my Irish ring, but Aaron just did it with his fist. But either way, Aaron Donald now, we'll see how this goes. We don't wanna, just like with anything else in the NFL, we're not going to rush to judgment. But did somebody, just like when the guy came at Pac-Man at the airport, I always think that you see an established athlete, guys get in their bag sometimes and want to take a shot at the title, which is never going to end well.
Two grown men fighting is different than a man beating up a woman,
right?
Or allegedly assaulting a woman. This, right. To me, this is just
two right.
Dudes.
Remember Pac-Man at the airport? Guy was trying to get on his Popeyes, was talking jive to his woman, then Adam just kicked the crap out of him in Concourse C.
Yeah, just two dudes. Hey, Justin Fields Pro Day. We'll dive into that coming up. Steve Holman's on the way right now. Let's give you a chance to win some money. Mike, you know what Aaron Donald said to this guy? Boom! That's the code word. Boom! B-O-O-M. That's the word. Text it to 72881. 72881 for your chance to win $1,000, guys. Make sure you stay locked in to 92.9 The Game. B-O-O-M, 72881. Text it now.
Did the guy actually see little birds flying around his head when he got up? Boom, goes to 72881. Good luck. Win the money.
All right, man. Coming up, Steve Holman. Hawks win again. Guys still chiming in on our conversation about young professional athletes not knowing the stars that came before them, even if it's not in their sport. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to talk to our buddy Steve Holman. Bang! Voice of our Atlanta Hawks. I just retweeted some footage of Justin Fields at his second pro day. Throws the ball about, I don't know, 70 yards. You can't really tell because it's not the angle of the field. It's just kind of behind him. And real quick, Mike, Zach says, he's going to be going to San Fran, my friend. And then Austin says, do you think he makes it past three? And then Stan, our good buddy, says, everybody looks great against nobody, but then again, he looked good against real people, too.
Yeah, I mean, I had a guy last night on Twitter, like, yeah, what do you want Fields so bad? Like, what did he do this and that against inferior competition, meaning the Big Ten, which a bunch of guys have brought up. Basically, the Big Ten secondary is like playing against a bunch of, cutouts. And I had a video, a little meme of him running for a big play against Clemson in the semifinal championship game. Like he was the best player on the field with a field filled with guys going to the NFL. He also took a shot from Skalski and nearly got knocked out of the game. And to me, that's what impressed me more about the toughness and I know that you made a great point. I think it was a couple of weeks ago. You don't have to go to a big school to be a star in the NFL. But that performance really won me over about Fields. I liked him to begin with, but that was amazing what he did against Clemson.
20-2, guys, at the Ohio State. All right, more on that coming up. Let's get to our man Steve Holman here on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Bang!
Steve, great call on what I thought was the most amazing play last night. The game got interesting late, but what a play from Solomon Hill to Kevin Herter.
Yeah, it was. It was. I didn't expect it to happen, and I guess you could tell by the call that I didn't, but I mean, what a heads up play by Solo and Kevin Herter to be able to catch that thing and get it up there in 6/10 of a second before the light came on. And it turned out it was a big play too because of the stretch run that Toronto made. So it turned out to be a kind of a big play.
Yeah, Steve, I was freaking out because I said earlier to Carl, I had no idea who this Malachi Flynn was, and all of a sudden this guy couldn't miss. The game was well at hand.
Two of us,
right?
That makes two of us.
Right. But I mean, they were playing decent defense. You sometimes just got to tip your cap. The guy was just making everything.
Yeah, he did. But luckily, they had that cushion that they were able to hang on at the end. But what they've done has just been amazing to be able to do this two games in a row on the road with seven guys out and one of the seven named Trey. To be able to win those games has been really something. And what a credit to Nate McMillan and the job he's done. I mean, he is just, he's a maestro when it comes to calling the timeouts. It's amazing how he can call a timeout right at the right time. He keeps the timeouts available that he can use when he needs to. And he, you know, he just doesn't let the train leave the station at all. You know, I mean, he'll call a timeout right away and get everybody right back on track.
It is our buddy Steve Holman here on Dukes and Bell. Is Clint Capela the defensive player of the year in your opinion?
Well, I think he is. He's right there. I mean, if he's not the defensive player of the year, I mean, who would be? I mean, you know, a lot of people like Gobert, but the problem that Clint has and that the Hawks have right now is that, you know, they just don't get the national eyeballs right now. Mm-hmm. However, you know, tomorrow night, maybe with TNT, you know, that might get some people watching. I think if they look at the numbers and look what the Hawks have done, I mean, there was one of those so-called ESPN expert columns yesterday, and it was like who would finish fourth in the East. It was all Miami, you know, or Boston. Not one mention of the Hawks who are in fourth place.
Right. You know? I know. I swear.
Right, we're 16-5 under Nate, and 18-6 if you count the three games that he coached on maternity leave, you know, when Lloyd was off. I mean, my goodness, you know, and they've got the best record. Mike pointed this out on Twitter today that they've got the best record in the month of April of any team in the NBA.
Right. Steve Holman's with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline, the longest running play-by-play voice in the NBA, our man Steve Holman here. Steve, that's the thing. I mean, everybody's contributing. We asked Nate the other night, you know, because you've got all the back, what we consider the backups. Now, Bogdanovich is a starter, obviously, but how do we mesh the reserves when the guys get healthy? You could argue we got one of the best groups in the league. I don't know how we'd handle against the Nets or the Sixers, but we certainly could win a playoff series with this crew.
Well, I don't think it's going to be a problem because what you're basically seeing out there is part, like two-thirds or, you know, three-fifths of the second unit as the starters. So you replace them with the starters. Then our second unit becomes the best in the league, I think. You know, no question about it. So I don't think it's going to be that hard to incorporate the guys back in, especially John Collins and, you know, Tony Snell. And the one guy, though, I really think has been the real glue for this team, and you could even look at him as maybe an MVP, is Solomon Hill. I mean, right. He's played every night, you know, except for early in the year when he was getting things together. But, you know, if it wasn't for him, where would we be? I mean, he has just guarded the toughest guys, and he started at the forward spot since Collins been out. I mean, I think he's been terrific, and he brings that veteran knowledge and, you know, you add Lou to this squad, and that's been what a tremendous pickup that's been. I mean, Rondo may end up being the playoff Rondo for the Clippers, but, you know, he didn't bring a whole lot to the table for us here, I don't think, as far as especially on the floor. The guys liked him off the floor, but, you know, look at what Lou adds. I mean, you know, he single-handedly almost won that fourth quarter the other night.
Right. Yeah, I think it was, you know, and give credit to Travis Link. Capela trade, everybody, because he missed most of that season. Now you see that paying off. The pickup now of Lou Williams when you needed more offense. The free agent signings of Bogey and Gallinari where we said, hey, we need more scoring when Trey's not in there. All of that is playing out. So Travis has done his part. But I want to talk about what you just said about, you know, a coach, and that's Nate. We asked him on the show earlier this week about why he thinks these guys are responding to him. What do you think it is?
Well, I think they respect him as a player and a coach. I think that they know that he was a terrific player in the NBA for a long time. They know that he has been a coach for 15 years. They know what he's done. They know his resume. And I think the fact that he played, I really think that brings a lot to the table, especially with the young guys. You know, they may not remember that he played, but they know he played. And I think that, you know, I think the fact that he did is something that carries a lot of weight with the guys.
It is a Steve Holman, the voice of our Hawks, bang, with us here on Dukes and Bell. Hawks now 5 games over .500. They've got a winning record away from home, which is also huge. We just talked about the depth. You know, Steve, the thing about this team is they've got a chance now. We didn't get it last year, and Carl and I talked about the progression. Yeah, you could have been in the bubble. Maybe we could have showcased. The only way that Trey's going to get more calls and this team's going to get respect, even from the four-letter network, is by winning in the playoffs. And, again, this to me is a team which is, I mean, the trajectory is great. The only thing holding us up is what's up with Collins and what's up with Hunter. Have you heard anything that we haven't heard?
Well, I think they're both getting close. I mean, I don't I don't know for sure, but I would take a wild guess that maybe after this weekend they both might be back, and I think Tony Snell might be back. Didn't I think Travis said there was no more swelling in Tony Snell's ankle. So I have a feeling, you know, they get past tomorrow night. They've got 2 days off. They play again on Sunday, an afternoon game, and then they don't play again till Tuesday. So that, you know, that might be a target date. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just going to be good to have them all back. And you know, the great thing about this is we only have 5 road games left all year.
Right.
You know, they've played all these road games. So the month of the end of April and the beginning of May, you start looking at that schedule, and there's a lot of winnable games there that are at home. So, you know, I think they're going to be a cinch for the top six to avoid that, as we like to say, the JV tournament, the, you know, the 7, 8, 9, 10. So I think they're going to be there. They've got a great chance to be fourth, fifth, or, you know, even there's an outside chance at third. I haven't heard what our good friend Coach Bud is doing today, but they're playing Minnesota.
Holman, what's wrong with you, Holman? Why? What did I ever do to you? Huh?
Normally, well, no, that would be the first time he would know my name if he said that. but you know, you notice what he's done. They played Charlotte, right? Team that we're battling. He sat everybody.
Thanks, Bud.
They played New York.
Right.
A team that we are battling with for playoff positioning, right? Sat all 5 starters. So today they're playing the Timberwolves, and his excuse has always been because it's on a back-to-back, right? So tomorrow night's a back-to-back. So I'm going to guess at 4:30 today when they start that game, his starters probably won't play against Minnesota, but they'll all be there tomorrow night. That's just my guess.
Right, I think you're right, Steve. I do. I got to ask this before we let you go. Guys asking us, a couple of friends on Twitter, what did Trae Young have on last night? Some people described it as the Mickey D's outfit.
It looked like a velour McDonald's tracksuit, Steve.
Well, I think you got it right. Exactly, Mike. I think that's what it was. And the best part of it was when Bogey made a couple of shots that they called timeout. I think he went over to him and said, would you like fries with that?
So I'm going to retweet this picture right now. If you missed it, what Trae had on. He did not play last night, but he was there for his teammate. Steve, great job.
He made Ronald McDonald look like he should be in GQ.
I know. But when I first saw it, I was like, okay, what is that? Because the way you see the M's, it looks like they're M's on this thing.
Right.
Like, they're not. All right.
Well, God love him. I hope he got a lot of money to wear it.
Hey, you know what?
He probably did.
It still looks better than Mellow Ball's bunny costume he was wearing in Charlotte.
Oh, I know. But the thing is, I mean, like we were talking about last night up in the control room broadcasting the game, you know, he actually might have taken time to pack that thing for the road trip.
All right. It's up there at Put 'em Up, See Duke. Steve Holman, great job. We will listen on Thursday. Milwaukee, guys, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Unity 9.
Yeah, and don't forget that the game's on TNT, so you know, Bob Albert's doing it, and I'm sure he wouldn't know 3 players in a lineup from the Hawks. you know, really. And the way he's not, they're not going to be in the building either. He's been broadcasting from a studio or at home or something.
Right.
And it's, you know, it has not gone well. So I would say any Hawks fans,
mute.
They should tune in to Mike and I tomorrow night.
Right.
To get the story on it, because, you know, you're going to have Chris Webber lives in Tyrone, right? But I don't think he would need a map to get to State Farm Arena. So
Steve is just dropping bombs today,
he's
man.
Just, he's
Steve is the Don Rickles of play-by-play. No, again, so guys.
No, I mean, these guys are killing me. You know, I mean, it's like this whole national media thing.
Right.
You know, Bleacher Report the other day came out and said, oh, the Hawks are playing a lot better because they're totally healthy now. What?
Yeah, what?
No, they're not.
You know.
So, again, we want guys that know, just like we always say with Mike Conti and Jason when it comes to soccer, you can mute the TV and sync it up with the radio broadcast. It just takes about 10 seconds to fiddle with, and you can listen to Steve and get
right.
All the home call, right, baby?
And then you don't want the TV guys who, as we would say up in New England where I grew up, wouldn't know their ass from their elbow. So there you go.
Bang!
Steve, appreciate you. Have a great day.
Okay.
We'll talk soon. We got to run.
Okay.
Yeah,
see y'all.
No Man is on the way, guys. And more on Justin Fields Pro Day coming up. We'll talk with Connor Riley about G-Day. It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to get to Bo Morgan. Yeah, Man, No Man. Coming up, Connor Riley is going to tell us about G-Day. It is sold out. is, you know, to capacity, which is what they're not going to be 93K there, but there will be a lot of folks there on Saturday. We'll talk to them about that and what the expectations are. Joshua Perry on the way as well. And, Mike, we got to get into a guy that I just think is completely overrated who's now with another team. We'll talk about that coming up. Right now, let's see what's going on with Bo Morgan with Yeah Man, No Man. All right, Bo, what is going on today, my man?
That's a beautiful. Well, it was a beautiful day. It looks like it's about to rain now. I got a run in today. It's great. I was first run of the spring. I'm really happy. It always makes you feel better when you get a run in, guys.
Yeah, I'd run, but I'm too fat. It's kind of a catch-22. I'd like to run, Carl. It's good exercise, but it hurts my knees. So
I mean, and I was running. I was trying to do the peach tree last year. Then it got canceled, and you know, so I stopped training because that's a haul. And now I know it's approaching. I think it's back in July on its normal date. So, Bo, you know, I'm with Mike, though. I got to drop a few of these COVID pounds before I get back to running now.
I just feel like such a candy ass doing the recumbent bike at the gym. Like I'm an old lady, you know, sitting there. Okay.
Yeah, but you're getting some cardio in. Now, some people don't believe in cardio. Like, I know. Like, oh, it doesn't matter. I think it just makes you feel better, you know?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, like, it is what it is. You got to lose the Joey, you know. But we joke around about this. Didn't we do it last week? You know, I was a skinny kid, so I still look in the mirror. I still see skinny, but even though I know I'm fat. Anyway, back to you, Bo.
There's always walking on the treadmill. Just get away from the people that are running so you don't feel inadequate.
Yeah, even that hurts. Speaking it all hurts.
Speaking of inadequate, some say Julian Edelman is not a Hall of Famer. And LeSean McCoy, which I agree that he's not, but LeSean McCoy has decided to jump on that he's not a Hall of Famer bandwagon. McCoy was asked by Yahoo, and he said, Hall of Famer? Nah, come on, man. He went on to say that LeSean talked about why he doesn't want to discredit him, but that the regular season matters. And McCoy says, I think I've got a good shot at it. I put my numbers up with any other running backs. In my decade, I was the lead dog. I've got good numbers, touchdowns, yards, yards per carry, all those things. And you add two Super Bowls with it. Yeah, he piggybacked onto one with the Chiefs, so I didn't do much there. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking about it, and the first thing I thought of was LeSean McCoy, not a Hall of Famer. So I went back and looked. He is 22nd on the all-time rushing list with 11,000 yards. He's behind O.J., Corey Dillon, John Riggins, Steven Jackson, and Fred Taylor, to name a few. He only has 73 rushing touchdowns, which put him somewhere, I think it was, 28th tied for all time. And he's got 16 more receiving. So, Yeah Man, No Man, is LeSean McCoy a Hall of Famer?
No, man. No. If he had retired in 1976, he might have been a Hall of Famer, but not by today's standards. Again, maybe down the road, team guys who played against him, Carl, might think more highly of him. But, I mean, if you're going to make the case for LeSean, I mean, Warrick Dunn is not too far behind, you know. But I don't know. We mentioned Ricky Waters the other day because it was his birthday. Ricky Waters, I think, didn't he have more of an impact? Or do you say LeShady McCoy in his prime, Carl?
Ooh, maybe Shady. I know Ricky Waters, though. He was great out of the backfield, man.
Let me look it up real quick. Ricky averaged 4 yards per carry. Hold on.
He was a really good back,
dude.
Yeah,
let me get this. And I remember with those great 49ers teams. Yeah, LeSean averaged 3 yards a carry. Sorry. That extra yard, Bo.
Yeah.
No, good numbers. Good pro career.
Dude. Yeah,
good
underrated.
Good pro career for Shady McCoy, but not a Hall of Famer. On the cusp.
Yeah, no. I can't disagree. I don't think he's one. And honestly, one of the things that I go by is when you hear a guy's name and then the Hall of Fame that comes after it, what's your immediate response? And if you have to think about it, then it's a no. But if you first think it's, he's not a Hall of Famer, and then you go look at the stat, I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer. It just wasn't.
You're talking about Edelman, right?
I'm talking about both of them.
Yeah,
neither of these guys.
Edelman, so. Carl, had all the numbers, but again, I think by virtue of all those plays, they talk about his great playoff numbers and playoff production. Yeah, because they were in the playoffs every year. To me, let's get Hines Ward in the Hall of Fame, okay? There's about, I mentioned on Twitter, about 36 guys before we get to Edelman. It's typical Boston nonsense and ESPN. And look, good guy, great overachieving career, but he's not a Hall of Famer. Come on.
So I think here's the thing with Edelman, and I don't think he is either, just from a statistical standpoint. But he had some of the biggest moments in NFL history happen on his watch. And whether it was punt returns, big moments, the catch against us in Super Bowl 51. And I think sometimes, Mike, people equate that to Hall of Fame play when it was just big moments. And if you went and looked at his highlight tape, I think we all go, damn, he made that play. Oh, I forgot about that. But that doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. So you can have big impact plays in the NFL, but it doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. So I think that sometimes gets mixed up with people when they go, man, he did this, he did that. Yeah, but when you compare him to his peers, like Mike just talked about, guys that should be his equal or better, how does he stack up? And that's the thing. So big explosive plays, incredible plays, wow moments, he had a ton of those.
All right, I want to get to this. One of our friends what listens to the show, Stan, sent this. It's from the Rocket City Trash Pandas. It's a minor league affiliate, AA affiliate of the Anaheim Angels. It's in Madison, Alabama. And you know we always talk food on this show. It's called the Dumpster Wrap. Now, listen to this thing. It's two hot dogs, crispy fries, house-made chili, fried jalapeno caps, and Chipotle Ranch Bandito sauce, all rolled up in a cheesy quesadilla. You guys eating this?
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it sounds good. Now, first of all, I like quesadillas anyway. I mean, you can put almost damn near anything in a quesadilla. So I would eat it, yes. I'm going to say, yeah, man. I would definitely eat that.
Yes, I'm down with that. I'm down with that. I'm like Carl. A quesadilla, you know, again, it's Mexico's version of grilled cheese, and I love it. To Mexico, I say gracias for the quesadilla. No, unless, of course, it started in Spain, in which case I say gracias.
I probably did.
A quesadilla is not one of the Tex-Mex inventions, is it? It really is. I mean,
Let's go to
really
Wikipedia. Let's go to Wikipedia, right? And settle this, Carl.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't answer that. I grew up a quesadilla, so I don't know. They've always been in my life. I don't know who invented them.
Place of origin,
I have no idea.
Mexico.
Okay, good. I was just checking because.
But you're right.
Tex-Mex
and true, authentic Mexican food are different. You're right.
Yeah, and we all grew up with Taco. I did. Grew up with Taco Bell and even Del Taco for early until they went out and then they came back. So a quesadilla I've always known, but I just never really, you know, thought about it. Was it real Mexican food, authentic?
Yeah. So Taco Bell, and you know, I'm going to say this. I don't know if they're one of our sponsors, but like in South Texas, Taco Bell, that's not Mexican food. So like you say Taco Bell, you get laughed at. That's not considered to be Mexican. But up north, right, where there's not prevalent now, it may have changed now, but
right.
Years ago, I know that, Mike, it was hard to find really good Mexican restaurants, and so Taco Bell was like the closest thing, I think, for a lot of people when it comes to you know, Mexican food.
When you're a New Yorker, when you go, you don't know what Mexican food is until you go to Texas or California, unless you get lucky. And again, there's some, but I will say this, you know, when Bobby Flay had Mesa Grill in New York, that was an amazing thing, because that was like the southwestern bend.
Out in Vegas?
That's the one that's at Caesars. Yeah,
okay,
the one in New York's not there anymore. But that was like when it first opened up, I was like, oh, you know, it really wasn't a lot of stuff. And there's always good Mexican in New York per se. But I'm saying it's another level though when you get down to where you grew up, Carl, or out in California.
Yeah. I just bro, that's not a knock. That's why you know we like Taco Bell. But like it's almost an insult because the food is so much different and so much better.
No, I've heard that many times. You know, Craig used to work on the show. He's told me that many times.
Oh, yeah.
Chris, hit the music.
Hey, man, we got a lot going on today. Mike had a little road rage.
Oh, by the way, that thing has opened up, Carl. According to Atlanta Fulton EMA, the sign that was on the highway, apparently they've got some of the lanes opened up. So a guy just hit me up. Said he's got Braves tickets tonight coming from Peachtree City. So 85 was a complete stop, but apparently it's opened up again just north of the Fulton County line.
But you know what? I think you made the right decision.
Well, I said 40. Said I would have gotten to the studio about a half hour from now had I stayed in the car. I just came back home.
My man Jordan says Taco Cabana, Sombrero Rosa. Those are Tex-Mex. He knows what he's talking about. Taco Cabana was that late night spot. Good call, Jordan. That's perfect. That's right on. Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to. Connor Riley, Dogs, G-Day coming up Saturday. We'll get the latest next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.